The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right. Let's get into this morning to talking about fasting. Joel chapter 1, verse 14 says this. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Consecrate a fast. So what's he talking about? Now, consecrate here is the Hebrew word is kadash. It means to make, pronounce, observe as clean, to appoint, to consecrate, to sanctify, prepare, dedicate, be hallowed, be holy, be sanctified, be separate. In other words, he is saying to the people, he's saying to the leaders, call for a holy fast before the Lord. A fast that will set the people apart to seek the face of God. Now, why was it necessary for that to happen? Well, if we look at this from a scriptural standpoint, we go on over in Joel. We'll look at Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It says this, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, to rend your heart and not your garments." You know, it was their practice when they heard something that was evil to tear their garments in public to show how much they detested that particular thing that was done. And God is saying, I don't want to see your garments rent. I don't want to see your garments torn. I want to see your heart prepared and torn before me. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. This is our God. Listen to what this says. He is slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. He does not want to harm his people. He relents from it. But what is it that we have to do? Get our hearts right before him. And prayer and fasting is an important part of that. It helps us to prepare ourselves. It helps us to push our flesh aside and come into the presence of Almighty God with our spirit. It builds up our spirit and tears down our flesh. It helps you to overcome and be strong. This is necessary in the body of Christ today. I'm telling you, we must get back to the old-fashioned way of worshiping the living God. And that is with our heart. Not just with our arms, not just with our words, not just with our dance. It's awesome that we have all these things, these arts in the church today. Praise God that we can do that. But is it coming from the heart? It must come from our heart. We must rend our hearts, tear our hearts open, and say, come in, Lord God. Otherwise, we are going to be like the Laodicean church. It's forsaken, it's God. It's wealthy, it's powerful. But the Word of God says in Revelation, the Laodicean church, it didn't realize how wretched and poor it really was. And it really is. I believe we're living in a Laodicean time. Now, throughout every age, I believe there's all the churches in Revelation are a part of that. I believe that there were actually seven churches that went out to in Asia Minor. However, we know that God also set this up for us to see this in different perspectives. So we look at it from perspective of the first century church. We look at it from the perspective of the complete church over the years. There were different churches that he was speaking to down through the ages, and he's speaking to different churches in every age. That we got to be careful that we don't fall into these types of churches that are rejecting. And the Ephesus church, he said, you do great, but you forgot your first love. Have you forgotten your first love? Boy, let's not do. We've got, that's why I'm encouraging you to get involved with this fast. Prayer and fasting will help you to press in to your love. Amen. Hallelujah. Get, put your flesh aside. An old preacher had preached many years in the pulpit in a local church, and he was faithful to point out to people how necessary it was to be people of honesty and integrity and holiness. And he was about to die, and he knew it. So he called in two people from his congregation. He called in this businessman that he knew was ruthless, no integrity, and he called in an attorney. And the two men were they were honored that he had called them in, but they didn't understand because he had never really shown them any shown that he really cared about them, you know, wanted a relationship with them. In fact, both of them realized that during many of his sermons, he would preach about things that they were doing, and he didn't hold back. He would tell them, you know, you've got to turn from your wicked ways. And they remembered many times sitting in the congregation, squirming, because this old preacher would tell them the truth. But they came to the preacher's house, and the preacher was just laying there in bed, and they came in, sat down beside of him, and he said, "I'm glad you guys came," and he just laid there and looked up. And he laid there for a long time. And finally, the attorney said, "Pastor, you know, we're honored that you brought us here, but what's going on? Why did you call us here?" And he said, "Oh, I just wanted you guys to be here because, you see, Jesus set an example before me. He died between two thieves, and I wanted to also." That's terrible, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Oh. Hallelujah. Do you realize how many people go to church all their life without allowing the Holy Spirit to make changes in them? People all over the United States, all over the world, are sitting in church services, and they're not allowing the Spirit of God to minister to them. I love this about this congregation. I really believe that you hear from God. I really believe that you're striving and you're trying to do your best to be the people that is the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That wherever you go, the Lord is using you. And I appreciate that. But I want you to know the church at large overall is in trouble. People need to get back to the goodness. People need to get back to integrity, to honesty, to holiness. Amen. Joel is a prophet that we don't really know a whole lot about. He just shows up. It says who his father is, Pethuel, but we don't know anything about him either. What we do know is that Joel was most likely a contemporary of Elisha, maybe Elijah as well. Joel ministered to, was a prophet to the northern kingdom. When after Solomon's death, the kingdom broke up. It broke up into northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom was 10 tribes. Southern kingdom was 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And Jerusalem was in the southern kingdom. Joel ministered to the northern kingdom. And he told them time and time again that they needed to repent. They needed to rend their hearts, that they needed to fast and pray and get before the Lord, but they wouldn't listen to him. The southern kingdom, however, from time to time, they had kings that would come along and would be men after David's heart. And they would desire to do right, and they would have revival, men like Jehoshaphat, Josiah, many of these, Asa, they were kings that desired to do right, and they led the people back. They led many times. They led the people into times of spiritual renewal through prayer and fasting. And that's why I wanted to bring that up to you this morning. I wanted you to understand how important prayer and fasting is from an Old Testament and New Testament perspective. So first of all, let's look at this. What is a biblical fast? Esther chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." All right, Esther gives us an idea of what a biblical fast is. It's going without food and sometimes water. Now, this particular case, they did it for 3 days. Many other places, Daniel did it for 21 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Moses fasted for 40 days. John the Baptist fasted regularly. We don't know exactly how much he fasted, but he fasted so much that locusts and honey was good to him in the wilderness. You know, that you get pretty hungry to eat locusts and honey, I'm sure. But that was his diet. The Bible says. So he was in the wilderness praying and fasting. David fasted, Moses fasted, Elijah fasted, Esther, Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, Anna the prophetess in the New Testament, she was fasted regularly. Peter, we know, fasted. And the disciples all fasted. We know this because Jesus told them that you won't fast while I'm here, but after I'm gone, after I ascend into heaven, you will fast. And I'm sure that was part of their regular discipline. A true biblical fast is going without nourishment and sometimes water for a specific period of time. Now, in saying that, I need to make sure that everybody understands. We want everybody to be on board with this fast. We want you to be a part of it. However, if you have some kind of health issues, you're diabetic, or other things that you may not be able to go without food, be very careful what kind of fast you choose. You can give up something for the Lord. God's asking you to give up something. You have something in your life, some kind of food, some kind of pleasure that you have, particularly when it comes to eating. I'm sure that maybe you love coffee or you like soft drinks of some sort, even if it's diet, and God will speak to you that's what he wants you to give up. That's why I'm giving you a week to pray about it, to ask God what he wants you to do. Okay? Because I want you to hear from God. But please don't do anything that could harm you physically. If you decide you want to do a particular fast and you're not sure, you need to consult your doctor about it so that you make sure you do the right thing. I am a firm believer that our God does take care of those who listen to him and are obedient, but we do not want you to do anything that's harmful to you in any way. Fasting is an important part of what we do here at Bethel Worship Center, or Bethel. I've got to get away from using that worship center. Here at Bethel, but we want you to be safe, and we want it to be a group activity where we know that we're giving up something to seek the Lord. Okay, the second thing is, why should Christians fast? The first thing that I want to point out to you is for protection. Prayer and fasting brings protection, and I say that because I go back into the Old Testament. Well, I can show you things in the New Testament where they prayed and fasted and God protected them and God delivered them. But let's look at Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. And it says this. If you'd like to turn there, I'll give you just a moment to get there. You got it on your phone or iPad or whatever device you might have. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. "It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat." Jehoshaphat was one of those kings I was talking about earlier. He was a godly man who brought Israel back caused a revival to take place in Israel, and the people are in Judah, and the people turn back to God through a godly leader. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea and from Syria, and they are in Hazar Tamar," which is Engi. Now, I want to make sure that I bring this in perspective here, because sometimes we think that, you know, we get our life right with God, and we're walking on the straight and narrow to the best of our ability. We're doing what God wants us to do. We're getting things straightened out, and we're having revival in our life, and everything's good. Well, when everything's good, you can't expect something to happen. You can expect the enemy to attack. That's just the way it works. The enemy, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purpose. That's his mission, and he is good at it. And he's going to come and try to kill, steal, and destroy. Things were good in Judah, but the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. Do not lose heart when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to your God. Amen. Trust him. And this is what he said. He told Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat feared. That's a natural response. But we can't let the fear overcome us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So he goes on to say, Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. If you're having a difficult situation in your life, you need God's protection, you need God's direction, pray and fast. God will hear your prayers. God will intervene on your behalf. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They all came together to seek the Lord. Because this was a fearful time. This enemy had come. This enemy was going to try to destroy them. And they were numerous. People from all over had come to destroy Judah. Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast. Now what happens, I'm just going to explain it to you rather than we're going to read it, but what happens from there is God told Jehoshaphat, do not fear. I've got this under control. And the people, when the Ammonites, Moabites, and all this host of people came against them, God said, this is what I want you to do. As they were praying, God spoke to them in a word. And he said, I'm on your side. Do not fear. I'm going to overcome them. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to set the choir out in front of your armed forces. How would you like to be a part of that choir? Set them out. Cause them to go before you with singing and worship. This is a key here to the kingdom of God. Pray and fast, and when you pray and fast, come together and worship the Lord like you've never worshiped Him before. When you're having problems, worship Him like you've never worshiped Him before. Go before Him, because He will rout the enemy. And the scripture tells us what happened was the worshipers, the praisers went out before the army. And when they all got there, when the worshipers got there, the Ammonites and the Moabites had turned on the other people and killed them. And then when they killed all the others, they turned on each other, and there was a massive slaughter. The Israelites did not have to lift a hand in battle. Judah did not. Incredible. That's the kind of God you serve. He's on your side. That's why I believe prayer and fasting is so important. And guess what happened? What looked like a terrible time turned out to be a time of gathering. They gathered all the spoils, all the jewelry, all the animals, all the things that were left from the armies that were going to attack them. They prospered in the midst of turmoil. God wants you to prosper in the midst of your turmoil. Hallelujah. So God can bring protection. Second thing, he'll bring us spiritual insight when we pray and fast. This is about seeking the kingdom of God and putting aside the things of this world. When we begin to pray and fast, we are taking authority over our flesh. And we are building up our spirit man. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, let's read that. Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the Lord of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you. You, both my father's house and I, have sinned. Nehemiah is praying for God's insight into this situation. He doesn't know what to do. He has no idea how to handle this situation. But he calls out to God and he prays, he fasts, and the Lord answers him. The Lord gives him an audience with the king. Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. And he gives him an audience with the king. The king recognizes there's something wrong, and Nehemiah tells him what's going on, and the king grants him permission to go and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Incredible. The power of God gave him spiritual insight into how to handle the situation. When you're going through a difficult time, prayer and fasting will give you spiritual wisdom and insight. God will direct you. Something recently, I just want to share this with you. Tammy and I have been looking for a vehicle. Our van has several hundred thousand miles on it. We've been asking God to show us the right vehicle that we should purchase. And we never make any kind of major purchase without seeking God. We just want to make sure that we're in His will. I've done this before. I've gotten off into a situation, debt or whatever, purchased something that wasn't necessarily God's will, and that's a miserable thing. God forgives us when we make those kind of mistakes, but it's still miserable, and you have to live in it, live through it. I don't want that. So we asked for God's direction. And when I was in Texas, I found a vehicle at Don Wood Ford. It was a 2017. It was something that I would have liked to have owned. I called them about it, talked to them. It was still there. They had dropped the price $10,000. So it looked pretty good. And I went there right after I got back. I drove it. It looked like a pretty nice vehicle. I asked Tammy to pray about it. And a couple days went by, and Tammy said, aren't you kind of concerned about, you know, whether we'll be able to get that vehicle or not? And I said, no, if this is of God, it'll be there when we get there. So we went up a couple days later. It was later in the week. We made plans to go, and we went up. We walked in, and I drove around. I didn't see it anywhere. We walked in, and I talked to the salesman that I talked to before, and he said, oh, yeah, you were here about that Taurus. And I said, yeah. He said, well, the funny thing is, right after you left, we sold that. I just looked at Tammy. I said, well, that made it easy. Let's go. Now, you know, there is a letdown. I won't tell you. There was a letdown because, you know, we thought we had found something. But I am satisfied that we are in God's will. And if that was not the right vehicle, when the one that comes along is the right vehicle, it will be better than the one that we thought was going to be the right vehicle. I absolutely know that to be the fact. And besides, I don't like debt anyhow. We're just going to drive that van for as long as we can. Hallelujah. I believe that's God's direction, spiritual insight into our situation. And that's what I want. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for this church. I want us to hear God's voice so that we can walk in it day after day after day in our life. Third thing I want to share with you, strength and favor comes when we do prayer and fasting. In Esther chapter 14, verse 13 through 16, it says this, "And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, 'Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this.'" Stop right there for a minute. Let's go back. I think everyone knows what was taking place. There was a decree made because of an evil man named Haman. He had asked the king to do away with the Jews, and the king had made a decree not knowing that Esther was a Jew. Esther was his queen, which was chosen by him. He did not know that she was a Jew, but he made this decree that the Jews could be massacred on a certain day. And Mordecai, her cousin, told her that she had been placed in this position for such a time as this. So what should she do? She proclaimed a fast. Verse 14, 16. "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day." They fasted, they prayed. Now here's the thing. When you fast, you pray, you ask for God's protection and God's spiritual direction and favor in situations, you're not going to know completely whether you have that favor that you're seeking. You have to walk by faith and trust that your God is with you and on your side. Listen to what Esther said. She said, "I'm going to do this. I need supernatural strength to do it." You need supernatural strength. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, you need supernatural strength to go through it. You need the power of God to rise up inside of you. You need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. Amen. You know, I'm not ashamed to be filled with the Spirit of God. I'm not ashamed to believe in tongues and speaking in tongues and the prayer language. I'm not ashamed to believe in the gifts of the Spirit, that God is still moving in the congregation today with words of wisdom and knowledge and prophecy. These things are necessary in our lives. I don't want to be ashamed of that. You know, I have pastor friends that I don't quite understand. They're good, godly men. They're filled with the Spirit, but they won't talk about it in the pulpit. They're ashamed of it for some reason. They're afraid of it. They're afraid it's going to run people off. Well, my experience is the power of God draws people in. And run them off. Hallelujah. So if you hear me speak in tongues, or you hear somebody speaking in tongues and praying in tongues during our worship time, hallelujah. Draw close to the Lord. We need those kind of things. We need to be built up in the Spirit. Now, I like to think that we're a well-balanced church. We don't get too far over to the right. We don't get too far over to the left when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. We understand their operation. We're free. We let the Holy Spirit move. Praise God, you'll come in here some Sundays and you'll hear everybody around you, or a lot of people around you, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. You'll hear somebody give a word of knowledge. You'll hear somebody give a prophecy. These are all acceptable practice in the New Testament church. And yet sometimes you'll come in here and nothing of that sort will happen, except you'll know the Spirit of God is here. Now that's my goal every time that we come into this place. I don't care what the manifestation is. What I want is the Spirit of God to manifest over God's people, to hover in this place. I want God's power. I don't want people manifesting. I want demons manifesting. I want the Spirit of God manifesting. So, spiritual insight, spiritual protection, spiritual strength and favor. Esther went into the king. Now, in those days, it was the practice that if you entered into the presence of the king without him summoning you, and he didn't reach out his staff and touch you with it, you were going to die. That's why she said, if I perish, I perish. It was worth taking the chance. It's always worth taking the chance. When you hear from God, when you believe that God is directing you, when you have boldness rise up inside of you to do the right thing, it's always worth taking a chance. You perish, you perish. So what? God is good. God is powerful. The last thing I want to talk about, let's see where we are. All right, just a few more minutes. I'll wrap this up. I want us to recognize that prayer and fasting helps us gain control of our flesh. Amen. That is so important. We've got to overcome this flesh. Your flesh will cry out. Your flesh will whine. Your flesh will beg. But you've got to overcome the flesh with the Spirit. Prayer and fasting will help you overcome your flesh. Jesus overcame the flesh with prayer and fasting after Jesus was baptized. What did he do? He was driven out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, it says, to pray and fast. He did it for 40 days and 40 nights. He was out there fasting, seeking the face of God. It's really important that we understand that even Jesus in his human condition, Jesus was all man, all God. No doubt about that. But he was man. And the Word of God tells us he was tempted in every way that we're tempted. So it's important for you to understand that Jesus did not overcome the enemy by his position as God. He overcame the enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit that lived inside of him and lives inside of you. Amen. And prayer and fasting was an important part of that. In the New Testament, the Bible, extra biblical texts teach us that the early church was taught to fast and pray 2 days a week. They would pray on Wednesdays and Fridays, fast and pray. It was a regular part of their worship. Now, if we're not careful, that kind of thing can become a religious exercise rather than a real spiritual exercise. Oh, today's the day of fast. We're all going to be fasting. Yeah, but it's got to be more than that. I agree. I think we need to pray and fast more often than we do. But I don't want it to become old hat to anybody. I want it to be a fresh, vibrant, spiritual experience that you have every time you do it with the Lord. Because it builds you up. It will encourage you. So Jesus was driven out into the wilderness. He prayed, he fasted, and then he was tempted by the enemy. You can read that yourself in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. But most everybody knows what happens in that. He was tempted several times in many of the same ways that we're tempted. And what did he do? He told the enemy, "It is written." So here's, you know, the important part of this is that our prayer and fasting is really important, but we need to know the Word of God as well if we're going to overcome our flesh and the enemy. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that many Christians in the United States really don't want to have anything to do with. Now, there are some awesome churches all across our nation that teach prayer and fasting, and I don't want to say the whole body of Christ is missing it. I just want you to know it's extremely important. And a lot of people, you know, gluttony is a problem. Now, I'm not just talking about gluttony for food. Gluttony is, you know, that can be an issue. But I'm talking about gluttony in a wider perspective, a wider definition of it. And I mean habitual greed or excess in comfort. That's, we're gluttons for that. You know, it's almost heresy to tell the church here in the United States that you might have to suffer for Jesus. Nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to hear that you come to Jesus and you know, everything's going to be all right. God's going to have this bed of roses for you to sleep on. And your life is going to be wonderful. You're going to get wealthy and you're going to have, you're never ever going to get sick and you're never going to be afflicted in any way. The enemy will never come against you. Everybody wants to hear those kind of things. Are you an overcomer? Absolutely. Does God want to prosper you? Yes, He does. But you're going to prosper in the midst of turmoil. You know? You're going to see things happen in your life. You must build yourself up spiritually, and prayer and fasting is an important part of that. We're fallen people. We have a sin nature. And that sin nature wants to rise up inside of us. Yes, we're delivered. Yes. We are redeemed. But you still have a sin nature. And you got to battle that thing. It's a warfare. Prayer and fasting will help you become an overcomer. It'll help you draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew, let me give you a little example of what I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 21, a rich young ruler came to Jesus. Now, this will blow the doctrine that everything's going to be awesome and wonderful. Came to Jesus and he said, "I have kept the commandments from my youth." And Jesus said, "That's what you need to do." He said, "What else do I need to do?" He should have kept his mouth shut. Jesus said, looking at him, he said, and he loved him. This is so important. He wasn't condemning him. He loved him. When I speak to you about sin in your life, it's because I love you. When I talk about the adultery that the church embraces, it's because I love you. God doesn't want that. When I talk to you about the reality that the Bible says if you live a homosexual lifestyle, you must reject that as a Christian. What the world is doing, I don't have any jurisdiction over. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, there are certain lifestyles that you have to turn from. Idolatry, witchcraft, adultery, homosexuality, lying, cheating, stealing, taking advantage of people. Your life is supposed to change when you become a believer in Jesus Christ. And I tell you this because I love you. And that's what Jesus did. He loved him. And he said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell everything you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come take up your cross and follow me. Now, this man knew what the cross was. They were living in a Roman-ruled world, and the Romans made the cross a symbol of pain and suffering, the same kind of cross that Jesus died on. There was a rebellion one time. I believe it. The man's name was Spartacus, a rebellion of slaves in Rome. And when they finally squelched the rebellion, they set up crosses all along the route to Rome. I believe it was somewhere between 200 and 300 crosses that they sacrificed these rebellious slaves on. For people, it was a warning to anybody who would rise up against Rome. This was the cross that Jesus was talking about when he said to this guy, take up your cross. He's saying to him, take up, cast off your flesh, get rid of your spirit, your pleasures, sacrifice your flesh, and follow me. There's a sacrifice to following Jesus. God never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always going to be with you, and he's always going to meet all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But I can tell you, there is a time that you must give up things in your life. Throughout my walk with the Lord, I've had to give up many things. Sometimes it was physical addictions, physical habits that I had. Sometimes it was just a pleasure that I enjoyed. And it wasn't that it was so horrible and sinful. It was just that it was getting in the way of my relationship with my Lord. God will deal with your heart that way. And as we go through this time of prayer and fasting, I believe that God will show you some really important things in your life. I believe he's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you, first of all, he's going to tell you what he wants you to do, how he wants you to fast. And then, as you are fasting, I believe he's going to speak to you about some things in your life that he wants to get straightened out. And that's just between you and him. And it's awesome when you hear and you obey. We're going to stop right there this morning. I got a lot more that I can talk to you about.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.